unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you... We are bringing to you the full story of what happened.
Chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee today indicated, then shouldn't Clapper's answers have been yes? And quite quick, Clapper.
Let us reward the innocent, my friend. Can your heart stand the shocking fact about...
It's a government program designed to collect information about all Americans, not just people where they believe there's reason to think they've done anything wrong.
And based on my conversations with government officials today, it seems that this is basically just a continuation of what has been going on since the Bush administration introduced it in 2006, that even though the order runs from April 25th through July 19th of this specific court document that you obtained, that it's not specific to any particular crime or terrorist investigation. It is just a widespread continuation for this particular telecommunications organization. Is that your understanding as well?
When it was discovered that the Bush administration was collecting millions of telephone records of innocent Americans, it was in a massive controversy. And I think there was an assumption, at least among a lot of people, that the Obama administration was not continuing these programs. These were programs instituted and justified by the 9/11 attacks. And so this is the first evidence that more than a decade later, the government is still engaged in what until 10 years ago was considered unthinkable.
Yet also the sundown of the old man's heart. The funeral over, the saddened group left the graveside.
Types of surveillance, a massive surveillance net over all people. And the problem is that this is all kept so completely secret. Why was this court order that we obtained marked top secret and closely guarded? It doesn't harm national security for us to know about it. We should have this debate in the open. Let the Obama administration talk about why they're collecting these records, whether it's part of a larger program, and then let's debate whether we as a society want to live with a government that knows everything that we're doing, regardless of whether we've done anything wrong.
Here's what a senior administration official said in response
15 to 4
to your scoop. They wouldn't specifically confirm the court order, but they said, quote, information of the sort described in the Guardian article has been a critical tool in protecting the nation from terrorist threats to the United States, as it allows counterterrorism personnel to discover whether known or suspected terrorists have been in contact with other persons who may be engaged in terrorist activities, particularly people located inside the United States. What's your response?
Anytime that you report on anything that the government does in secret and they get caught doing things that Americans would be stunned to learn they're doing, it's almost like you just wind them up and they just yell the word terrorism and hope that if they say the word terrorist enough times, it'll scare people into accepting what it is that they've done. That's what that statement is. If what they're really doing is what they claim they're doing in that statement, which is targeting actual terrorists or people they suspect of terrorist activity, why aren't they going to the court and specifically naming those people and giving information to the court to let the court know that they're actually engaged in wrongdoing or there's reason to believe, and monitoring them? Why is it that instead they are sweeping up everybody's phone records, millions and millions of people, that allow the government at any time access to those databases to, if they have political enemies, if there are people that the government dislikes for whatever reason, to have all kinds of leverage and power over them by knowing what it is they've done? If this were really a program directed at terrorists, we would have a much different conversation, but that's not what this is. This is indiscriminate and aimed at all Americans, not just ones who they call terrorists.
Micropower Radio. Hey, this is Furious George signing in and letting you all know what's going on today. We're going to be spotlighting the NSA whistleblowers out there and focusing on that. That seems to be the hot thing at the moment, literally. So turn off your cell phones. I'm furious.
paper published a classified order issued by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court directing Verizon's business network services to give the National Security Agency electronic data, including all calling records, on a, quote, ongoing daily basis. The order covers each phone number dialed by all customers, along with location and routing data, and with the duration and frequency of the calls, but not the contents of the communications. The order expressly compels Verizon to turn over records for both international and domestic records. It also forbids Verizon from disclosing the existence of the court order. It is unclear if other phone companies were ordered to hand over similar information.
According to legal analysts, the Obama administration relied on a controversial provision in the USA Patriot Act, Section 215, that authorizes the government to seek secret court orders for the production of, quote, any tangible thing relevant to a foreign intelligence or terrorism investigation. The disclosure comes just weeks after news broke that the Obama administration had been spying on journalists from the Associated Press and James Rosen, a reporter from Fox News. We're now joined by two former employees of the National Security Agency.
You know, when most warrants are very narrow, is really shocking as a lawyer.
Well, some might argue that the Obama administration at least went to the FISA court to get approval for this, unlike the Bush administration in the past.
Right. Well, we don't know if the Bush administration was, you know, getting these same orders and if this is just a continuation, a renewal order. Right. It lasted for only, it's supposed to last for only 3 months, but they may have been getting one every 3 months since 2006 or even earlier. You know, when Congress reapproved this authority in 2011, you know, one of the things Congress thought was, well, at least they'll have to present these things to a judge and get some judicial review, and Congress will get some reporting of the total number of orders. But when one order covers every single phone record for a massive phone company like Verizon, the reporting that gets to Congress is going to be very hollow. And then
joyous living. The sky to which she had once looked was now only a covering for her dead body.
My
with her own hands.
contains nothing more than the lost rune of Earth. By his great loss, the old man left that home, never to return again.
My
Well, the reason why we have it on in place, Wi-Fi as it exists, is because there's been a history of abuse on the part of the executive branch of the eavesdropping power, which is an extraordinary power to be able to listen in on any communications anywhere in the world, including in the United States. And there was a long history.
Oh.
Well, it's getting dark. Let's be in our way.
Two of his mourners left his final resting place. Led by Inspector
That doesn't mean that there aren't other orders for the other telephone companies, right? Like Bell South, like AT&T, etc.
Those were companies mentioned in that USA Today story in 2006. Nothing about the breadth of this order indicates that it's tied to any particular national security investigation, as the statute says it has to be. So some commentators yesterday said, well, this order came out on, you know, it's dated 10 days after the Boston attacks. But it's forward-looking. It goes forward for 3 months.
What are you going to do?
Look around the light.
Pretty dark out there. Once you get beyond the range of those lights, you won't be able to see your hand in front of your face.
I will get one of those flashlights on
the video. Decades, long veteran of the NSA, your reaction when you heard about this news?
Well, this was just the FBI going after data. That was their request. And they're doing that because if they want to try to get it, they have to have it approved by a court in order to get it as evidence into a courtroom. But NSA has been doing all this stuff all along, and it's been all the companies, not just one. And I basically looked at that and said, well, if Verizon got one, so did everybody else. Which means that, you know, they're just continuing the collection of this kind of information on all U.S. citizens. That's one of the main reasons they couldn't tell Senator Wyden with his request of how many U.S. citizens are in the NSA databases. There's just, in my estimate, it was, if you collapse it down to all uniques, it's a little over 280 million U.S. citizens are in there, each in there several hundred to several thousand times.
In fact, let's go to Senator Wyden. The secret court order to obtain the Verizon phone records was sought by the FBI under a section of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that was expanded by the Patriot Act. In 2011, Democratic Senator Ron Wyden warned about how the government was interpreting its surveillance powers under Section 215 of the Patriot Act.
When the American people find out how their government has secretly interpreted the Patriot Act, they are going to be stunned. And they are going to be angry. And they're going to ask senators, did you know what this law actually permits? Why didn't you know before you voted on it? The fact is, anyone can read the plain text of the Patriot Act, and yet many members of Congress have no idea how the law is being secretly interpreted by the executive branch, because that interpretation is classified.
We'll be right back.
members of the public have no access to the secret legal interpretations, so they have no idea what their government believes the law actually means.
That's Senator Ron Wyden. He and Senator Udall have been raising concerns because they sit on the Senate Intelligence Committee, but cannot speak out openly exactly about what they know. William Binney, you left the agency after September 2001, deeply concerned. This is after you've been there for 40 years, about the amount of surveillance of U.S. citizens. In the end, your house was raided. You were in the shower. You're a diabetic amputee. The authorities had a gun at your head. Which agency had the gun at your head, by the way?
That was the FBI.
You were not charged, though you were terrorized. Can you link that to what we're seeing today?
Well, it's directly linked because it has to do with all of the surveillance of the U.S. citizens that's been going on since 9/11. I mean, they were getting, from just one company alone that I knew of, they were getting over 300 million call records a day on U.S. citizens. So, I mean, and when you add the rest of the companies in, my estimate was that there were probably 3 billion phone records collected every day on U.S. citizens. So over time, that's a little over 12 trillion in their databases since 9/11. And that's just phones. That doesn't count the emails. And they're avoiding talking about emails there because that's also collecting content of what people are saying. And that's in the databases that NSA has and that the FBI taps into. It also tells you how closely they're related. When the FBI asks for data and the court approves it, the data is sent to NSA because they've got all the algorithms to do the diagnostics and community reconstructions and things like that.
And as your article points out, this is not the administration doing it on its own. Congress is briefed on it. There is a FISA court that is involved in it. In fact, you suggest in your article that Senators Ron Wyden and Mark Udall, these Democratic senators, have been warning the public, perhaps, about this. They wrote in a letter to the Attorney General back in March 2012 that they were specifically referring to documents sent to Congress in relation to the Patriot Act. Quote, these documents are so highly classified that most members of Congress do not have any staff who are cleared to read them. As a result, we can state with confidence that most of our colleagues in the House and Senate are unfamiliar with these documents, that many of them would be surprised and angry to learn how the Patriot Act has been interpreted in secret. Do you think that they think that the members of Congress who are briefed on this stuff, on this classified material, do you think they think there is sufficient congressional oversight over programs like this one?
Absolutely not. I mean, and the example of these two senators is really remarkable and answers your question so perfectly. These are Democratic Party senators who are loyal to President Obama and to their party, who have spent years now saying, please listen to us. What the Obama administration is doing in interpreting the Patriot Act is so warped and distorted, and invest themselves with such extremist surveillance powers over the United States and American citizens that Americans, in their words, would be stunned to learn what the Obama administration is doing. So you can have this procedure where you tell members of Congress or a certain number of them what it is that you're doing, but when you hamstring them and make it a crime for them to do anything about it, to talk about it in public, to introduce legislation about it, which is what has happened, to show their staffs what it is that is being done, you make this oversight, quote unquote, completely impotent. And you essentially annex these institutions. So you say, well, we told them, they're involved, but you prevent them from doing anything about it. It's symbolic oversight only, and it's completely meaningless.
All right, Glenn Greenwald, call Guardian.
the same way. Thinking the same way. You feeling the same way. Thinking the same way.
America. As you know, technology has changed the way we fight our wars and conduct counterterrorism operations. Tonight, I introduce to you another technological advance, the Reobomulator. With a touch of a button, the Reobomulator transports me back to the idealistic constitutional scholar we all know and love. With this groundbreaking technology, lives will be saved. and I will be me. For we are not a nation of drone strikes that kill civilians and U.S. citizens. That is not America. And that is not me. Contact your members of Congress to demand that they restrain me before I kill again. In our shame of Guantanamo, a shadow system of justice, indefinite detention, secret charges, and our military force-feeding prisoners who have been cleared of any charges? Is this who we are? This is not me.
Joke. I'm sorry, Jeff. That was a bad joke. Say, I almost forgot what I came in here for.
That's for me. It sure wouldn't hurt a thing, Edie.
Okay, be right back. And say, Jeff, make that call to Matt.
Nah, not only she throw cold water on my Albuquerque plan, but now she's repeating herself.
And you are the one to blame, cause I was thinking. Go
demand that the military's commander-in-chief put a stop to this stain on our nation's soul, as I have been urging for 5 long years. Now on our own shores, we have hounded the very journalists who helped preserve our democracy. As James Madison surely must have said, there will come a great president who will establish a review board to weigh civil liberty concerns. I believe I am that president. And thanks to advances like the Reobomulator, hands will be wrung, conscience will be felt, and souls will be searched. I can be the new old Obama you know and love. Together as a nation, we can make me the president you thought I was. Thank you. And now watch this drone.
Makes it easier for the FBI to interpret what's in there.
We're also joined by Thomas Drake, who was prosecuted by the Obama administration after he blew the whistle on mismanagement and waste and constitutional violations at the NSA. Thomas Drake, your reaction to this latest revelation?
My reaction? Where's the mainstream media been? This is routine. These are routine orders. This is nothing new. The what's new is we're actually seeing an actual order, and people are somehow surprised by it. The fact remains that this program has been in place for quite some time. It was actually started shortly after 9/11. The Patriot Act was the enabling mechanism that allowed the United States government in secret to acquire subscriber records from any company that exists in the United States. I think what people are now realizing is that this isn't just a terrorist issue. This is simply the ability of the government in secret on a vast scale to collect any and all phone call records, including domestic to domestic, local, as well as location information. There's no need now to call this the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Let's just call it the Surveillance Court. It's no longer about foreign intelligence. Records and beyond. And this is only just Verizon. As large as Verizon is, with upwards of 100 million subscribers, what about all the other telecoms? What about all the other internet service providers? It's become institutionalized in this country in the greatest of secrecy for the government to classify and conceal not only the facts of the surveillance, but also the secret laws that are supporting surveillance. Incredible amounts of information about subscribers. It's basically the ability to forward profile as well as look backwards all activities associated with those phone numbers. And not only just the phone numbers and who you called and who called you, but also the community of interest beyond that. Who are they were calling? I mean, we're talking about a phenomenal set of records that is continually being added to, aggregated year after year after year on what have now become routine orders. Now, you add the location information, that's a tracking mechanism, monitoring tracking of all phone calls that are being made by individuals. I mean, this is an extraordinary breach. I've said this for years. Our representing attorney, Justin Radak, from the Government Accountability Project, we've been saying this for years and from the wilderness. You've had us on your show in the past, but it's like, hey, everybody kind of went to sleep, you know, while the government is harvesting all these records on a routine basis. You got to remember, none of this is probable cause. This is simply the ability to collect. And as I was told shortly after 9/11, you don't understand, Mr. Drake, we just want the data. And so the secret surveillance regime really has a hoarding complex, and they can't get enough of it.
I'd have gone pro. Heartbeat, I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking up.
Government in secret, an abject violation of the Fourth Amendment under the cover of Enabling Act legislation for the past 12 years, is routinely analyzing what is supposed to be private information. But hey, it doesn't matter anymore, right? Because we can get to it. We have secret agreements with the telecoms and internet service providers and beyond, and we can do with the data anything we want. So, you know, I sit here as an American, as I did shortly after 9/11, and it's all deja vu for me. And then I was targeted, it's important to note, I, not just for massive fraud, waste, and abuse, I was specifically targeted as the source for the New York Times article that came out in December 2005. They actually thought that I was the secret source regarding the secret surveillance program. Ultimately, I was charged under the Espionage Act. So that should tell you something. Sends an extraordinarily chilling message. It is probably the deepest, darkest secret of both administrations, greatly expanded under the Obama administration. It's now routine practice.
Representatives in government, in the Congress, in the courts, and in the executive branch came together and agreed that while surveillance is an extremely important tool for our country to use, it is imperative that it be used only with oversight, only with judicial oversight and with judicial approval, in order to ensure that that power is not being abused.
Paper. All right, then get me a toilet paper roll, a corkscrew, and some tinfoil. We don't have a corkscrew.
All right, then get me an avocado, an ice pick, and my snorkel. Trust me, bro, I've made bars with less. Hurry up.
The growth rate of this band cannot even be charted. They are treading water in a sea of retarded sexuality and bad poetry.
That's nitpicking, isn't it?
Pot is the new gay marriage. And by that, I mean it's the next obvious civil rights issue that needs to fall. Now, if I asked you what has been the biggest change in American society over the past 20 years, what would you say? Instagram? Coconut water? Crocs? All important, but no. It's that a generation ago, the closest thing to gay marriage was Liza Minnelli and David Guest. In 1988, only 10% of Americans approved a gay marriage. Today, that figure's almost 60%. So what happened? What made gay marriage so normal so quickly? Now, sure, part of it was Dancing with the Stars. But mostly it was because gays simply demanded it. They didn't care that gay marriage wasn't popular. They put it on the agenda and they made it popular. The same way they made every... The same way they made every woman in America want to wear giant bug-eye sunglasses. Now, the Democrats, believe it or not, have that kind of power, too. They just don't use it because Democrats operate from a place of fear, unwilling to appear soft on crime, soft on terror, or in Anthony Weiner's case, soft on camera. On gay marriage, they even use their own children as political cover to explain how they evolved on the issue. They say, my kids have gay friends, and when they come over for dinner, I've noticed none of them try to fuck me. Say what you will about Republicans, they don't chase poll numbers. They move them, like gays. If Republicans were smart, they would steal marijuana from the Democrats as a freedom issue. Of course, they're not smart, so they won't. Because they're squares living in a Reefer Madness cartoon. A cartoon where millions of Americans are still trapped in a no man's land, where a pot dispensary can sell you weed if you have a card from a doctor who certifies that you have a disease, which is just don't ask, don't tell for pot smokers. And it creates a culture of dishonesty that gives a bad name to people like me who genuinely suffer from whatever it is I told them I had. But this isn't about me. It's about the 750,000 people who are arrested for simple possession every year. And the fact that blacks are arrested at 7 times the rate of whites, which is a subtle way to suppress the black vote, because 48 states limit voting rights for convicted felons. Only 2 states do not, Maine and Vermont. And Maine's black population consists of a bear. Look, we all put something in our mouth that we're not always proud of. But that makes us happy. Gay barriers fell when Americans realized gays are their neighbors, their friends, their family members, their co-workers. Certainly, that must also be true of potheads. We all know at least one. In fact, I bet there's one pothead who you all know. Oh, not anymore. But here he is back in high school with his stoner posse, the Choom Gang, posing with a cake that I'm guessing didn't last long. And it makes me curious why he evolved so much on gay marriage, but has actually escalated the war on pot. At the correspondence dinner this year, he joked, "I remember when BuzzFeed was something I did in college around 2 a.m. which killed in the room, but perhaps not so funny to all the young lives ruined for doing the exact same thing he did back in Honolulu. A simple pot conviction can foreclose on opportunities to vote, get a job, go to college, or qualify for housing. How can our first black president and our first pothead president be aware of that and just look the other way?"
A special request. with a heavy heart. And not just because my pre-show cocktail is a bourbon and Nutella. No, folks, I am ensaddened by the recent announced retirement of an conservative giant, Michelle Bachmann. Yes, it's true. The congresswoman who represents Minnesota's Valley of the Dolls. She broke the news in a web video recorded at, I believe, the Sears Portrait Studio. Jim?
After a great deal of thought and deliberation, I have decided next year I will not seek a fifth congressional term.
There you have it. No fifth term. A political career over in the blink of an eye. Which for Michelle Bachmann is once every 8 years. But folks, don't worry. In her remaining time in office, Michelle Bachmann will stay focused on her goals.
I will continue to work vehemently and robustly to fight back against what most in the other party want to do to transform our country into becoming.
Yes. We must fight those most before our country is transformed into becoming. Stupid most. So tonight, folks, we say goodbye to Michelle Bachmann and look fondly back at some of her very moments.
Planned Parenthood is a $1 billion a year entity. They want to become the lens crafter of big abortion.
It's a very sad life. It's part of Satan, I think, to say that this is gay. It's anything but gay. Leads to the personal enslavement of individuals. Because if you're involved in the gay and lesbian lifestyle, it's bondage.
The very founders that wrote those documents worked tirelessly until slavery was no more in the United States.
There's a woman who came up crying to me tonight after the debate. She said her daughter was given that vaccine. She told me her daughter suffered mental retardation as a result of that vaccine.
There isn't even one study that can be produced that shows that carbon dioxide is a harmful gas.
Our founders thought taxation without representation was bad. What would they think of representation with taxation? Cupcakes for you. Did you get them? We got two cupcakes for you. Did you get them? We didn't know if you like chocolate or not.
Hey, Dr. Furious here. Furious One signing off. This is WCOM LP Chapel Carborough. Micropower Radio. Radio, where we've been venting about a couple different things. Today just happened to be the day we found out that the federal government completely has no regard for our privacy whatsoever. But who's surprised by that? Seriously. We also touched on some of the other issues. Threw in some cool music. And we'll be probably spinning a little few more tunes here. And then I'm going to sign off and I'll be back next week. You can check out some of my old shows at furiousg.blogspot.com, where we have shows that go way back. Back into the Bush administration. But sometimes it feels like we're back there again, doesn't it, folks? Hey, listen, I'm Furious George. I'll be back soon. Thanks for listening to Mike Powell Radio. Radio.
The dirt should be piled up here somewhere. It looks like it's fallen into the grave.
Larry, you'll be out of uniform before you know it.
Do we have the right to look down there, Lieutenant?
Technically, no.
No?
Well, this spot looks familiar, though. Yeah, we shouldn't investigate any further without the permission of next of kin.
Let's go get it.
Oh, I see what you mean. The grave's still down there.
Well, let's go down and find out who's going to.
How?
By going down and finding out.
Are you sure you mean that, Lieutenant?
If I didn't mean it, I wouldn't have said it.
Scared?
Well, why do I get hooked up with
that's why I sent her two farewell cupcakes. We sent her two. Did she get them? Did she get the two? What was it?
casket here, but nobody's in it. Can you read the name on the casket? It's too dark. Give me a flashlight. How about a mask? We sure can try it. Let me have them. Okay. It's Inspector Clay's grave, but he ain't in it.
Of the ones we love, dovetail our generosity, equalize the flow with our hearts. We chisel quartz to
killed in the room, but perhaps not so funny to all the young lives ruined for doing the exact same thing he did back in Honolulu. A simple pot conviction can foreclose on opportunities to vote, get a job, go to college, or qualify for housing. How can our first black president and our first pothead president be aware of that and just look the other way? If anyone can say smoking pot won't ruin your life, it's the guy who smoked bales of it and then became leader of the free world.